Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. Today it's Saturday the 17th, and if all things go to plan, then this will be recorded and put out for tomorrow, Sunday the 18th. Well, so much has gone on, and I look back to perhaps 5, 6, 7 weeks ago when I was saying that this run up to Christmas would be perhaps some of the most busiest or difficult or most challenging, and that seems to be the case. Literally every 3 or 4 days we're getting something that's perhaps designed to keep humanity from grounding itself. Perhaps it's just the way it all is at the moment, but certainly it is very fluid. So I want to talk globally first of all. A couple of commentators have been mentioning that there's some arrangement or deal at the highest level of banking, the highest level of Freemasonry, but not just Freemasonry, secret societies or secret groups. And I certainly am picking up this information. The words I'm being told, and the project is being called a return to life. And what that means is returning money to the people, returning money to the living creatures on the planet. But the terminology that, or the name of the project that I'm being given is being called Return to Life. Depending on which organizations divided up the world into sections or groups, not just continents but groups, and each group is sort of deciding how it might best implement a more equitable financial system or a more equitable way of returning money to the people. I mean, in some places money's never been returned to the people at all, so anything that does that would be good. But this is part of a project that's been discussed quite intently for the last 2 years, 18 months, but has been on the cards for a number of years. So in America, their tranche of money, they want to use that to do away with the Federal Reserve and have a financial reset. That's their plan. Difficulty at the moment with Europe, because Europe has very, very dug in, entrenched satanic forces, so there aren't really very many voices for Europe to implement things, but ultimately it would be a named person in a particular location who would then decide how that money was distributed out. What we're talking about is a large amounts of money that need to go back towards the people, and this is everything from a reset perspective right through to literally standing on the street corner handing out money. I mean, that's obviously that's not going to happen, but then in terms of projects that are set up, so it isn't just a case of setting up a project and not having any result to it. There certainly will be some very clear ground rules laid down, but the amazing thing here is that both East and West have actually come to some arrangement. The Vatican, believe it or not, also signed up to this. They've done so not perhaps because their heart is in it, but because they know that if they don't, the destruction of the Catholic Church, which is already unfolding in front of us, would be exacerbated and sped up. So they have signatures to it as well. All right, America, I want to talk about the fires. I do agree that there's been a range of, I call them exotic weaponry. Some of these weapons have been fired from helicopter. Some, I believe, are fired from drones. Some are a microwave type device that basically means that things cook or heat from the inside and burn outwards. Others are more of a plasma type energy weapon, which doesn't operate like a microwave but still has an intense high heat. There's a small nuclear facility that's had some damage to it, a storage area that I've heard. It's not a Fukushima, it's nothing like that, but there have been issues there. Also, I believe there is some validity to properties that have had these smart meters. pumping out all these microwaves, it is possible to home in because they are generating signals. And it might be, if anybody had the inclination to do a calculation of how many homes with smart meters were burnt to a crisp and how many were not, I suspect we would find that the number with smart meters was appreciably higher. But that's not proven. That's just from the information I'm receiving. Really, I think I wanted to talk about the situation in Britain now. Brexit is unravelling in two ways. Firstly, it doesn't look like Brexit anymore. It looks like we're going to stay part of Europe, but as far as the public is concerned, the document they're going to be sold or shown says we've left, but in reality we haven't. So that's a very serious point, and why so many supporters of Brexit in Parliament are prepared to vote against Theresa May, the British Prime Minister. And indeed, on the other side of the fence, those people who wanted to remain in Europe, feeling that, well, we should have just stayed in Europe anyway, that the deal being put forward is neither one thing nor the other. So Theresa May can't win. And I did put on my website 2 or 3 days ago, perhaps, you know, the next few hours will be vital. I understand that you need 48 members of parliament from the governing party to write in to say that they want to challenge the leader. Now, I understand that 48 letters have gone in, but some of them did not use the correct wording. If you write in and you say you're pretty fed up with your leader and you wish that she would change course, that isn't using the right terminology. So I think there's something like 35 to 40 letters in which are official, and this weekend will be the deciding factor as to whether the remaining few will go in. If so, we would have a leadership challenge as early as Tuesday. Nothing would be decided, but the announcement would be made on Tuesday. So a very, very interesting time for Great Britain, a very difficult time, it's very difficult to see how anyone can cobble together anything. My own view is the best deal is a general election. I actually think that we don't need another referendum. This government has just doesn't know where it's going, so let's have a general election and just see what will come from that. So that's actually how I think the best way out of this would be. If we look at how the media, and I just posted on the website before coming on today, the media in America has continually tried to find President Trump guilty of sitting down with the Russians and trying to work with the Russians to remove Hillary Clinton, how everything and anyone who does anything wrong on a global scale must be Russian. And it's absolutely laughable if, unfortunately, so many ordinary people didn't fall for it. So I know that, as I said on the website, people who listen to these podcasts and conferences and everyone else's shows are awake and aware, and you do actually need to reach the people who are not awake and aware. And here's a fact, this is what I went with, that Interpol, which is the international police force, it's the police force of the world. So basically, if you're in Africa and you want to extradite somebody, or you want to get a charge on someone who's fled your country, and let's say they've gone from Africa excuse me, to America or to Britain or to Ireland, Interpol is the one that draws up that arrest warrant, and that is effective in nearly every country. Well, they had a guy, and he got off an aeroplane in China. He was the head of Interpol, head of the police force, the world police force. And he got off an aeroplane in China and was promptly arrested by the Chinese authorities. This is the Dragon Society, who didn't like him because this guy had been corrupt. And within a day or 2 days, he put a letter in resigning as head of Interpol. So that meant they had a great chance to recruit a new head of Interpol. So you look at the world scheme, and you look at the way everything is, and you think, well, who would they choose? Would they choose perhaps an American? Probably. Possibly a French person, or or a British person. No, they want a Russian. They actually want a guy who's head of the Interior Ministry in Russia. Now, the Interior Ministry in the days of the Communist Party was half of a cover for the KGB. It was a secret service. And I'm sure that although Russia is no longer a communist country, I'm sure that the ministry does have a lot of dealings with spy networks. And that's why, of course, Interpol are interested, because the guy's got his secret police record. They'd like that. But it's incredible that on one hand you've got Hollywood screaming about Trump, about Russian involvement, and you have the World Police Force actually wanting a serving member of the Russian civil service to head them. And this is the ridiculousness that fake news, fake stories are sold to the general public. But if you actually look and dig, you realise it's just nonsense. Because if this really was the case and the Russians were out to rule the world, you certainly wouldn't have all the other countries who make up Interpol, that's the French, the Germans, the Spanish, the Italians, the British, the Americans, voting and wanting a Russian. So it's just absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? So that I thought was well, it's amusing, but actually it's desperately sad, because you've got this one hand of this huge game playing out, and on the other side, it's business as usual. So I wanted to do that. I want to thank everyone who wrote in. We talked about frequencies of sound, the modern change as opposed to the older change. And we've had a lot of responses. And what I want to do is not going to lose this or drop it. I'm going to have a word with Andy, who does the website. I want to see if some of you might be prepared to do a short 2 or 3 minute feed, which could come on to my website. Some of you who are musicians could actually play some notes as the old frequency, and then the same tune in the new frequency, so we can have a look at that. I know there's loads of stuff on YouTube, but I don't want that. I want people who listen to this show to actually be involved in this. It'd be very easy just to go on YouTube and put some links on. But if there's any of you who are very gifted like that, then you know, if you can just let us know. And I love to do that, because that means that we've talked about a topic, it's something you feel passionate about, you've written in, I'd like to go with that and respond to that. It's really important, because that good energy needs to be shared. So that was great. I wanted to thank everyone for that. I'll do my usual thank yous for the donations, just to let you know that from the donations I got in, I did actually donate to a number of people who lost their homes, lost quite a lot in the California fires. So did donate for that. Just want to let you know that some of that money I used for that. I thought that was important. You know, I don't believe those fires were started by somebody knocking some hot embers out of a campfire and starting it up. I do believe there's something more sinister behind that. And as always, it is the ordinary, decent people that are on the receiving end. And there are people who've lost their homes, they've lost their clothes, literally just got out with what they've got. And they're lucky that they made it with their lives, because as we know, the death toll is climbing now. So, you know, I just wanted to let you know that that's what I did with some of that donation. So thank you very much for that. Right, that's it really. I am expecting more issues. Somebody sent me a feed today, which is really helpful. For the first time in my knowledge, in Ireland, Southern Ireland, they went through a practice drill as if somebody had driven a car into a group of people, then rushed into a building and taken hostages. And they role-played that out with military, ambulance, police, the lot. And you'd have to think to yourself, why would a country like Southern Ireland be wanting to practice that sort of scenario? So maybe they know something that we don't know. So that again is official, and you can find that out. So okay, I think we'll go and say hello to Becky, and hopefully we've got some really good questions to follow on from what we had last time.
Hello everyone. The first question is from Daniel, who says, "Hello Simon. First of all, thank you for all the work you've been doing and giving people a light with your knowledge. I'm from Bogota, Colombia. Great coffee, finest emeralds, and Pablo Escobar. I would like to ask you, what's the role of the country right now? Are there any alien species working here? I think all the drugs issues was just a facade, and that the real and dark game here are the resources. This land is very rich in terms of gold and emeralds, etc. But it'd be great to listen to your point of view. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you for listening to the shows, and thank you for your words. I don't think it's just that. I think there really was money to be made, and we know previous American administrations have either turned a blind eye to their secret services or they've been heavily involved themselves. And the point about South America was it was the back garden of the United States, and if you could control a government and you could have a cash crop of drugs, then that was all to the good from their perspective. So there really were not just battles for hearts and minds, but real physical wars. You know, think about Sandinistas, think about Holy North, El Salvador, think of all the South American countries that America has had an involvement in. But you're specifically asking about off-planet connections. Off-planet connections can occur in any country. If an off-planet intelligence wants to work with a set individual, it in most cases doesn't go through the government. In most cases, it will just go directly to that individual, find where they live, they don't go through the phone book, and they'll work with that person for the period of time that they think necessary. But you're asking about at a higher level in terms of government involvement. So off-planet entities would be interested in a government if that government had a large influence over the planet, if it was a suitable operation for whatever they were looking for. There are three South American countries that hold a fourth-dimensional frequency energy to them. And as a result of that, reptilian are fourth dimensional entities have for quite a while been involved in their governments. But most of the countries in South America, there is no official ET involvement at government level. You often get at scientific level intelligence coming in from off planet wanting to work with scientists, either for good or for ill, and which is separate from the government or separate from the military. But in your country, there isn't a coordinated, to my knowledge, a coordinated off-planet engagement with that government, because and you're quite right, the minerals in the Earth are much more valuable to humans than they are to off-planet entities in your country. So therefore, it is the usual story of mining corporations or American second, third companies removed, involved in that. So you've got China, Russia and America all vying for resources in countries that are not officially part of any one bloc. So to answer the question then, there, to my knowledge, there isn't an overall strategy, although I do know that people in the South American countries are being worked with on an individual basis. Thank you for your question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Pam says, I live in San Jose, California, and with everything that is going on here in the state, I have a couple of questions. First question, is someone working on fixing the voter fraud and or would it be a good idea to leave this state? The second question, why isn't President Trump arresting top people who are running or have a large part in child trafficking, deep state, shadow government? I appreciate all you've done and continue doing.
Thank you. Several questions there. Let's take the easier ones first. For some unknown reason, I mean, we know the real reason, but let's have some fun. For some unknown reason, the American system uses 20 plus year old machines to count votes. The argument is that there are so many people in America casting their vote that they can't do it by hand. They need machines. Yet they have machines that are really old and continually break down and have a problem. So why do they continue to use them? They continue to use them because they are very easy to fix. And I don't mean fix as in repair. I mean fix as in alter the result. That's the point. So one government that's in power keeps the machines because it can put pressure on it. And then the people in opposition say, this is a fraud, this is a fix. You know, this is wrong. And then when they get in, they say, oh, we can manipulate this. So, you know, all as bad as each other, really, from that perspective. So the machines are easier to influence than they are human counting. That's the first thing. And I do remember many years ago now, so it seems on this planet, the battle between Bush, where, you know, he was challenged legally by the Democratic contender. Bush said, you know, you've got to do what you've got to do. Do your legal challenges. And there was lots of legal challenges around the pin counting machines. For people who are not in America, what happens is that the machine punches holes in the ballot paper, and it was called a hanging chad. So the piece of paper, if the piece of paper hasn't been fully punched through, is that a vote or isn't it a vote? I mean, it's just mind-numbing. But nevertheless, there's that. So that's the easy one to answer. Do you have to leave? No, you wouldn't leave because of that. I mean, people are more likely to leave California because their homes have been burned to a crisp than any voter fraud. The real question you're talking, for me, the important one is, you know, why isn't Trump doing things about it? The real issues, child trafficking, paedophilia. I'm going to be putting on the website in the next few days a list of all of the American states and how many sealed indictments there are in each state. And I was told about a week ago there's now over 60,000. Those of you who are sharp-eyed and sharp-eared might remember that not so long ago I was saying 40,000. 40,000, that's a lot. I'm going to have to find out about that. And then I had the information and I was happy with that. Now we're on 60,000. And I'm going to be putting a proof on the website for you to have a look at. So it can't, I won't give any names, details, but it can show you how many indictments in each state. And what's interesting is that if you take a what we call a Rust Belt state, that's a very depressed, run-down area where the elite don't want to go, the number of sealed indictments are quite small. You take a nice, fanciful area like Hawaii, the indictments are huge. And they're running at about 5,000 a month. So that tells us that, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done. As soon as anybody starts legal action, then the rats disappear. And I think that what Trump is doing is he wants to get as much of the net around his fish as he can, so that he can net in as many of them as is possible. Now that's my fervent hope. I've always been concerned that an American president that wants to do good work, but is so conscious of the fact that so many people want to kill him, might go ahead and get loads of indictments done, sealed up, and say to people, tell you what, if you don't actually kill me, I won't actually open the indictments. In other words, a sort of an insurance policy. And I've always had a little bit of me which said, I really want to see those indictments open soon, because I need to see this is not an insurance policy. This is really an effect of getting out the broom and sweeping the dirty floor clean. With the results in from the midterm, it's as we expected, that the Republicans lost the House, but not just held the Senate, but increased the strength in the Senate. That means that he's there for another 2 years. He cannot be removed by impeachment. They can't get rid of him. All these nonsense on websites about how they would get rid of him. They can't. Anybody who's writing that nonsense hasn't actually understood the Constitution of America and what you have to do to get rid of an American president. You have to have both houses. You can't. So whatever the House actually writes through and says, then the Senate, if it's controlled by Trump's party, can just block it. So that's not going to happen. And that means, then from his perspective, that's the president's perspective, It doesn't have to open these documents immediately. He's got 2 years. I've always wanted them open before Christmas because I was really worried about the midterm elections. There was a possibility that, you know, that he could have lost both houses. I'm more relaxed now, but I still want those things opened. But I am persuaded by the argument that there are still many thousands of people who have not been connected yet. In other words, let's say somebody lives in New York State and they are involved in paedophilia, but there's someone else in a separate indictment who's in Louisiana. Well, what they're doing is they want all of these indictments done, and remember that it's not one name per indictment. So some indictments have 5, 6, 7 names on them. So I might be looking at something like 200,000 to 250,000 names. And that's really staggering. And not all of them are in America, some of them are abroad. So my answer is, I understand why he's not acted yet, but I really want him to act soon. Thank you, it's a really good question.
Okay, thanks. Mike says, hello Simon, good to be in touch again. We had a Skype session back in early 2016. My questions on our current issue are, could you give us, please, an honest, valuable reflection on what is happening these days in China and with the current party leadership in China that behaves in a horrific manner, reminding many people around the globe of a very nasty totalitarian dictatorship evolving, seemingly worse than that of Nazi Germany? Why is everything turning into a fear-mongering instead of a continuous growth for peace? There are many more questions, but I believe that you'll give us a comprehensive answer. Highly appreciated, and with a big thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. I bless you, because what you're saying is, I've got loads of questions for you, but if I ask you one question, I'll get it more fully answered. I think that's what you're saying. Right, listen, cast your minds back to those images on television, right back, what was it, 1989, 1990? 1991, of the Chinese student standing in front of a tank.
Tiananmen Square.
Don't forget that China has always, certainly since the time of the Little Red Book and Chairman Mao, had a very different attitude towards its people, and the people have by and large accepted that. So when we talk about this sort of what we call camera face technology that the Chinese are piloting at the moment, you know, face recognition, you really need to look on it as just part and parcel of a control system in China. The real key here is the government is separate from the dragon society. So the government of China, and this isn't a very good analogy, but it's more Freemasonry. The government of China is more controlled or control-like than some of the secret societies that are beneath it. Simply because the secret societies are not politicians, they are going to be there for another 1,000 years, whereas these politicians, like all politicians, are only there till the next election, maybe. And so we tend to have, in countries like China that has a huge population, a panic on how to control these people. I mean, you know, I wouldn't think about how do you control people. I would think, how do you set people free? But that's not how these leaders think. They think, my population is growing, my power base is being diluted. How am I going to control all these people and know what they're doing? I want to know what they're doing. I want to know what they're saying about me. And so you've got a division in China between the government, the controlling part of it, and the separate section, which is the underground secret societies. The military in China really do take their command from the politicians. There isn't going to be a military dictatorship anytime soon. But the Chinese government is out of step. And they actually sort of made this decision that they wanted to rule the world not by the gun, by their financial system. So the Chinese want to lock in and control their own country so that when they really, it hadn't started yet, believe it or not, when they really turn their attention to the outside world economically, they don't fear a knife in the back from their own people. And so that's what's going on at the moment. But I will tell you this, that some of the senior people in the Chinese government are not at all liked by other very powerful people on the planet, and they're not really that safe. So I wouldn't expect the Chinese government to be the same makeup in a year's time. That's a good question. We don't often talk about China very much, but it is becoming more in our face, I think. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jean says, will it soon be too late to recover artifacts from the Antarctic? Are the powers that be selectively destroying them? We may never know the full picture. Thanks, John.
No, it's not in human's nature to destroy things that you can control. It's not in human's nature to destroy things you can control. I repeat that deliberately because it's a really important point. If a human is given something and they can make it work and they understand it, they won't destroy it. A scientist might say, I have discovered a really terrible bomb and it's so terrible that I don't want the world to have it, so I want to destroy it. That's quite a high view. Whereas military, government, all the rest of it would say, oh, that's really useful, we're going to keep that. The whole point about the deal with Antarctica was trying to get technologies out which then could be filtered through particularly the American corporations and also some other, not trade deals as such, but some understanding of what could and couldn't be discussed. President Trump was the only president, to my knowledge, who's talked about a space fleet or a space force. Now, we all know, those of us who are awake and aware, that there has long been a space force or a space fleet. People call it the secret space program. I hope no one's going to sue me because I've said SSP. I know someone's trying to patent that or copyright that. But a secret program in space has long been the goal of many countries, but only a precious few were in a position to have the finances and the authority to do it. Now, what happened was that Russians, instead of trying to create their own space fleet, went in with the Americans to some extent, although it is largely an American-backed operation. But by President Trump talking about it, he's getting it in the minds of the people that there is or will be a space fleet. That's a really big step. That's a really big step. And a lot of the technologies that are coming out of Antarctica are, as we would say in Great Britain, dog old. But they are hugely advanced, and many of these technologies are more advanced than anything the Greys ever gifted to the United States government. And so it might be possible then for Trump to release the Triangle 1, that's the first generation Triangle, black craft, and sell that to the public in terms of PR as, this is our space fleet. And we would see, from a human point of view, 20-year-old, 25-year-old, first generational Triangle spacecraft. But of course, to the unaware and unawake, this would be absolutely exciting. All the rest of us are saying, well, hang on a minute, we were talking about this a long time ago. But at least Trump is actually trying to open that debate by saying that he is going to start up a space fleet, and then he can then bring out these craft. Now, if he's got this advanced technology coming through from Antarctica, then he will be in a position with the military to release stuff to the public and through to the corporations, of course, who then will do with it. So we should see huge increases. I'm going to give you a little bit of a point here. I recently went and saw Fantastical Beasts at the cinema and really enjoyed it. And that was in 4K and it was in 3D. At the moment, in laboratories in America, and they are on the verge of launching 8K. Now, you know, we can go to a shop and pay through the nose for a disc, Blu-ray disc, which is 4K. But they're actually working on 8K. So there's a 20-odd year lag behind between what the general public get, what the corporations have, and then there's a further lag with what the military have. So when this stuff from Antarctica comes out, it has the potential to make America great again. That's where Trump started his slogan, because he knew that making America great again wasn't just about the Dow Jones. It was about an injection of technology that the like of which had not been seen for perhaps 100 years. Well, since 1947 and Roswell. But they messed up the way that they released that technology through to the corporations. They've learned from that and they'll have it in a different way. So that's the point there, that humans only destroy what they can't control and work, and if they fear that somebody else is going to get it. And what the Knights Templars do is that they don't like sharing with anybody, and in some cases I think they've got it right, that they will hide such technologies from everybody because they don't want others to get it and do whatever. So there are many factions on this planet, all with their different agendas, and it's down to each piece of technology, what it does and how useful is it. Think about the story I've told about my mother and the work she did, and how she would be typing up the documents from the German scientists who were back engineering this material from some spacecraft. And it was all about, you know, what can we do with it? How does it work? What application can we use it? And that's what humans do. That's why I could speak with such passion, because I've read document after document after document of military asking scientists, what can we do with this? We're not interested in what the aliens did with it, because that's just not, you know, relevant to us. But what can you do with it for us? What can we use it for? And in so many cases, its application was just not viable on the Earth, but it left opportunities for other things. And in many cases, if we take an output of 100% for these devices, they were only getting 10% output from it, so 10% of its capability. But that 10% was greater than we had on the Earth at that time anyway. So it's a real industry and a real business. It's a good question, and I hope that's a good enough answer. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Scott says, in Ireland, Kerry County, recent reports stated that an underground Cabal base was raided. What do you know about this? Its purpose, ET involvement, unresolved issues? Thanks.
This is probably back in the summer. I don't think it's a recent thing. I think I would be a little bit careful here, because although it was a little bit old, it hasn't broken into the public news yet. Perhaps it never will. The problem we have with a very strong, solid Catholic country is that unscrupulous, deranged men can create their fantasies, which would be, you know, child trafficking. And if some of those individuals are not just localized, but they have connections going out throughout the planet, then they bring themselves to the attention. And there have been a number of safe houses or facilities which have been raided by a very small but select group working at some arm's length from the American military to take out the facility and just to prevent it from operating. I don't see this as an underground alien base. I see it as much more earthly and much more to do with the battle that's being fought on the planet at the moment. That's not to say that aliens or some faction of an alien group is not involved in it. you know, those of us who are not frightened to talk about such things will say that, you know, the reptilian, certain arms of the reptilian group will trade people. They will actually you know, murder people and then sell the bodies. And if you think right back to when Forrestal leapt out of that hospital window, supposedly, you know, was pushed, but supposedly jumped to his death. The reason that he started to want to go public right back then was that he'd been shown a spacecraft, and in the spacecraft were body parts, human body parts, which clearly had been dissected and taken off. Now, without going off the topic too much, if you can try and watch a couple of YouTube shows from the Gerry Anderson serial called UFO, it was made in 1969-1970, a fictitious story but based on fact. And if those of you who've been watching me for long enough will remember that the very first episode of that one, my mother was instructed to make me watch. And what she actually said to me was, you have to watch the first episode, which was an extended version, because that's truth. And all the rest of the episodes are just nonsense. And you can watch them if you want, but they're all nonsense. But the first one is actually based on reality. And that's where there's an American general, his attaché, and a British minister in a Rolls Royce, and it's attacked by a flying saucer. But the point was that in these spacecraft, in this story, the pilots of these alien spacecraft had undergone transplants. That's how they were getting around. It would have been too much for a children's TV show to say that a spacecraft had crashed, and when they got there, they found a bit of an arm and a bit of a leg. That's just too horrifying. And also, it's too near the damn truth. So the closest the Andersons could get to the truth was saying, these aliens were coming from a dying world. They were coming here, capturing humans, killing them, but taking their organs. So, and a couple of the shows they talk about, well, it's got a new liver or it's got a new kidney. That's as close as they could go to it. So we know that occurs, that happens, and so some of the underground bases are storage places for such bodies. And in the old days, under different administrations, there was an overt agreement. Now it's a covert agreement because it's no longer fashionable to work with these off-planet aliens, because the consciousness on the planet has changed. It's still going on, but it's not going on in the way it was. So I can't confirm that the underground base that you were referring to was that. I can say that it was more to do with the more earthly issues that we are now dealing with on the planet. Good question. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Cindy says, I was wondering if you could touch upon blood transfusions. After giving birth, I had a rare postpartum bleeding called subinvolution of the placental site, which ended up requiring a blood transfusion. Anything get transferred over in terms of one's soul to me? Thank you, Shine On.
Oh, thank you, Shine On, oh bright one. Someone's been reading my stuff, thank you. No, genetic material, yes. Soul memory, no. It's very, very, it's a really difficult one, simply because we know that water can take a memory. Water can take information. That's how the earth transfers a lot of information on underground streams. But the earth, whilst it's a living entity, is not a biological living entity in the same way that a human or a cat or a dog is. So blood transfusion won't, 99.9, pass that across to you. It is to do with soul memory. That's really how you can do it. So for instance, when we talk about past lives, we are remembering that our soul had incarnated and been in a body whatever many years ago, and we saw with eyes and we heard with ears, and it wasn't just the brain that remembered it, but the soul remembered. The soul has a memory. And so 500 years later, you know, we come back into this body in this life, and we have these memories. Now those memories can either come back in the daytime or they can come back as dreams. But they'll come back in some shape or form for some people. And that's a really important way. But a blood transfusion, 99.9% would not transfer a soul issue like that. I have to say 99.9, because I suppose if you're an incredibly psychic person, and if there was something, you might just pick up on it. But I really wouldn't want you to be concerned about that at all, because I don't feel there's a concern. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Richard would like to know, what is your understanding and opinion on Vardankar, spelled V-A-R-D-A-N-K-A-R?
I don't generally sort of push one form of meditation or one form of astral projection or out-of-body experience. I tend, when I work with my clients, I tend to ask them, have you ever experienced out-of-body or astral travel? And if they have, then I ask them to give me a little rundown of how that worked for them. And in most cases, it's spontaneous. And some of those people will then go on and do their own research and then find a discipline that works for them. And there are actually more books out there than you think, or more articles out there. The difficulty, again, I think for this, is that when we are in our own body, we're in our home territory, we're on home turf. When you leave your body and you want to go to another dimension, you go to someone else's turf, someone else's realm. And so the big thing for me is, people, protect yourself. If you're going to go on some sort of journey, protect yourself. And so I'm not going to push one method or one discipline over another. People will find their own method that's best for them. The important thing for me is that you do protect yourself when you're away traveling. Thank you. This is a good question, and you obviously know your stuff.
Okay, thanks. Timothy says, you have mentioned IT spiders, I think you might mean AI spiders, that are visible between the sleeping and waking states. What is their purpose, and should I do anything about them?
Well, that implies you've seen them. Should I do anything about them? I don't know what you would do about them. I'm not being facetious. It's a real issue. When I work with a client who's had experience of them, I ask a series of questions, because I need to understand what we're looking at. Sometimes something can masquerade as a spider, and it isn't at all, and other things exactly are that. And so the questions that I ask would give me the information to help me to come to a decision as to what the subject was dealing with, and then I would best advise that person based on the answers they'd given me. Some people see these with their human eyes, some people see them just psychically. The reason that predominantly, not exclusively, but predominantly we see them just when we wake up, and to a lesser extent just when we're going to sleep, is that when your brain pattern changes when you're sleeping, these intelligences know that you're operating on a different frequency, and so they will appear. When you wake up unexpectedly to them, that's your higher self alerting you to an intruder coming within your vicinity. That's what that all is. That's why you're catching them out. And so many times these things are seen to run up a wall or a ceiling, and then they'll just vanish as if there was a hole, then, you know, like they've just gone through it. So if you've seen them, yes, you need to take action. You need to be aware that something is interested in you. But until we can define what they are, defining what they are tells me where they've come from, and that tells me who's controlling them. And then through other questioning, I could find out what they were after. So sometimes it's random. They will just literally turn up. But that's not a very useful method of resources. You tend to pinpoint and target individuals. If I said to you broadly they were observational, that's probably accurate. But there are some of these things that are more than that. And what I will say to you is that there are several people in Hollywood that have very close association with these things. So that probably will spark more questions than it answers. But I guess when I open the books, and I'm going to be opening the books quite soon, so that people can rebook, I would strongly suggest then that you do look for that. You try and get a booking, because the sort of questions I'll need to ask you would help. So thank you for that. I will be opening the bookings very soon, so hopefully I get to speak to you quite quick. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Samantha says, "Dear Simon, what are the ways that people draw jinn and shadow beings to themselves? The only time I saw them physically was living at my grandmother's house. She had an awful smell in her room that only I could smell. Later, I realised it was because of these beings. One time I saw her send a shadowy figure towards me, not with my eyes, but my mind. It crawled across the floor and tried to choke me. My grandma is a very negative person. Her only daughter, my mother, died from an overdose, and it seems mental illness runs in both sides of my family. I'm asking this because I can't ever imagine my grandma picking up a magic book or a Ouija board. Is it possible to attract these things just from being so negative?"
Thank you. I'm unconvinced it's demonic at this stage. It could either be demonic or it could be reptilian. Unfortunately, you haven't tried to put into human words the smell. You said it was a very nasty, horrible smell, but sadly you didn't elucidate on that. That may seem strange to you, but the different smells mean different things. So I haven't got that to go on. Crawled across the floor and tried to strangle me. The crawling across the floor is demonic, but the strangling is less so. Demonic creatures...
It says choke, tries to choke me.
Strangle, choke.
Okay.
That's less demonic, that's much more reptilian. So I'm unclear what we're dealing with, and again, I would need to ask you several questions, but let's answer the questions that we've got here. Can a person who's in great depression or great negativity or great violence or anger bring these creatures to them like that? Yes, but very occasionally. You have to be able to open a portal, or at least to make it worthwhile for these creatures to open a portal to come to you. It's generally through some form of bloodline or practice of dark arts, magic arts. It could be through a curse. You talked about the Ouija board, of course. It could be about a sacred object. Sacred doesn't necessarily mean good. That contains a demon. Think about Adolf Hitler and the Spear of Destiny. The entity lived in the spear and jumped into his body. That's one of the reasons he invaded Austria. Wanted the Spear of Destiny, which wasn't in the museum. It's not nonsense about that. It was hanging up in the church. The main church in Austria was hanging up from the ceiling. It was suspended in the church because it was the spear, supposedly, that had been stabbed into Jesus's left side. So these entities, which are demonic, can exist in certain objects, and I have some personal experience of that. It's very fascinating and very interesting. But again, unfortunately, the information you've given me, and this isn't a criticism, please don't take it this way, if I was talking to you, the questions I would ask you would give me a lot more information than you've written. And I appreciate that you've written from the heart, the soul, and you've told me what's important to you. And it is important to you, but there's so much that's missing from that we could gain from it. I think that you're probably your grandmother had a psychic connection. I think that she had these experiences before. You're clearly psychic because you can see them. Vast majority of people can't see them. So if you can see them, it means you're psychic. You've got that from somebody. It is possible it's just happened to you, but more likely you've come through a lineage line of people who are also psychic. So you are physically smelling something, that's your 3D, but you're seeing it as well. And we don't just see with our eyes, we see psychically. And they're attacking you because you're a good person. Bad people don't get attacked generally. Why would you attack somebody who's doing something you want? You only attack people that are not doing what you want. So that again is a good sign because you're a good person. So many questions that I would love to ask you, but I can't. So same answer as before. Look, going to get these booking open again very soon, and it might be worth your while if you want to have a private chat. I can ask you the questions I do need to ask you. I can't do any more of that, but thank you.
Okay, thanks. Richard said, in a recent video, David Seaman of FulcrumNews.com stated that the chemtrail program was cancelled, and yet I continue to see them in the skies over eastern Oklahoma here in the US. What's going on? Love your radio show. Be well and be safe.
Thank you. Very kind of you. It was cancelled over a year ago because the heads of the groups that signed off these operations resigned and left. And there was a 3-month delay while they replaced them. And there really was a reduction across the planet of these chemtrails. It really was. Everyone was reporting that they were either stopped or reduced. And then they replaced it and they carried on. So if he's referring to that, then hats off to him. As far as I'm concerned, he's got it spot on. If he's talking about it's all over with now, that's disinformation. Because all you've got to do is go out of your door in the morning, look up at the sky, and it's obviously not stopped. You know, we went through a period just a few weeks ago where the United States of America and Great Britain were being hammered, and other countries as well. Never seen it so bad in all the times. I mean, I love my old films. I love old films, and I particularly like films of the 70s and the 80s. Some of them are black and white, some of them are colour. And, you know, they're not all filmed in someone's front room. A lot of them are filmed out. You don't see a single chemtrail. They show the sky often when they're, you know, filming. There's no chemtrails. There's the few vapor trails, but the skies are devoid of chemtrails. So, you know, it's my generation, and not quite, you know, 20 years either side, that can remember a sky that's blue with no chemtrails in it. Just the odd vapor trail. But this generation, the modern, the last sort of 25 years, they don't know any different. They just see it and they accept it, those that are unawake and unaware. That I have a memory of going to school day in, day out, and nothing in the sky, just the clouds. So we do have a situation where there is a corrupt, satanic force detached from any elected government of any sort, which is following its program. You know, there is mileage in saying that all the aluminium, using the American term, of course, we would say aluminium, but as it's about America, I'm going to use the American word, all the aluminium that has been sprayed over parts of California, falling down onto the forests, and they act like mirrors. You put enough highly reflective material down on the ground, and then you hit it with a weapon, you are going to get this fractional bouncing off in 20, 30 different directions. And it's going to be very effective to cause a fire. It's not dissimilar from how crop circles are made. Never mind all the stuff that you read about people who don't really know what they're on about. The reality is that in Wiltshire in particular, in the soil substrata are millions of tiny, tiny quartz grains, quartz crystals, not beautiful little gem crystals, just chips of quartz mineral, trillions of them. And they are have a piezoelectric effect. And so when they're hit in a certain frequency, they respond and reflect back. And that's a very large part of why the corn bends in genuine crop circles. And so off-planet and on-planet entities realize that if you seed the subsoil or the substrata with a particular reflective material or a material that can react to another action, you can get things occurring. So, no, we haven't won yet. There are still chemtrails out there. One day there won't be. Thank you, it's a good question.
Okay, thanks. Nikki from Australia says, do Prince William and Harry know that their grandparents have reptilian overlays? Do the princes also have them? Was the Queen a normal, nice person before she was overlaid? And does her normal soul still exist in there?
Oh, that's... You mean the Queen is not a normal, nice person? It's a really good question because it allows us to try to develop and try to, I don't want to challenge anyone, but try to add another view to what's perhaps the debate at the moment. And I'll cast your mind back. We can't forget David Icke, who was instrumental in bringing the Queen to the eyes of the public by saying that the Queen had a reptilian self, and of course that was a bridge too far for very strong royalist people who were quite happy to say that the government was knifing them in the back, but to say that the Queen was a reptilian, that was just too much. So that was it was good from David's point of view because he brought it out there. Yes, he lost a lot of his readership, but he was the first one to be brave and bring that forward. So I want to develop that. You couldn't live with somebody like that and not know the truth. And these beings are very, very good at masking and hiding. That's part of their deception. They are very clever, very, very clever. But you couldn't be living 20, 30 years and not have seen that. I mean, we know for a fact that a number of the bodyguards, close protection, have seen things, and many of them have nervous breakdowns, so that's a fact. You know, you can't bodyguard these individuals without seeing certain things. The soul of Queen Elizabeth II, as far as I'm concerned, is the same soul as was in Queen Victoria and the same soul that was in Queen Elizabeth I. And if you were to accept that, then you would accept that she's a royal, and I do accept she's a royal, absolutely, no problem, you know, she's a queen. She may not be my queen, but she's a queen. And if we were to look and say, okay, she's reptilian, which she is, then we'd say, oh, right, she's coming from the Draconis reptilian line, which means that's a white-skinned reptilian. You know, we talk a lot about reptilians and green colour or grey colour, this, that and the other, but the royal ones are white-skinned. Now, those of you who have studied your Queen Elizabeth history, you'll probably be quickly looking on Wikipedia now, will know that Queen Elizabeth I smeared her face in a white paint because she wanted her face to be white. Well, I think the answer's in the colour. Why would the Queen of England literally cover her face in white paint? Unless she was trying to say, I'm regal, I'm royal, I want to dominate my courtiers, I want them to be respectful of me. All of that is the soul speaking. As an aside, of course, what she didn't know was that this white paint contained a higher proportion of lead, which actually wasn't taken out of British paints until the 1960s. That's just an aside there. So this lead paint made her mad. She actually became like Alzheimer's or what have you, but she actually went mad because of the lead paint. So we've got somebody who wanted to make themselves whiter than white because they had this aspirational hook about being royal. She may not have fully understood it, perhaps, but that's what she wanted to do. So when we talk about a good soul becoming a bad soul, what I'd rather say to you is that the lineage of this soul is always a royal like that. So it's that's all it knows. The overlay is really interesting. It's not an overlay in the true sense of the word. It is a reptilian concept. It is the strength of mind projecting a human physical body, and then the physical body stands there and the reptilian overlay is over the top of it. That's why these people, their arms can change. I mean, it's quite normal for more people than you'd think for their eyes to change. That doesn't mean that the body's reptilian, it means that they have a reptilian soul. But when, say, an arm becomes scaly or a leg becomes scaly, that means that there is much more than just soul in that body has incarnated in reptilian bodies in the past. It means that there is a physical, there's a physical, it's there. It's hard to describe it because it isn't physically there, but it's intentionally there through intent. And so the queen could do that. The queen could actually change if she so chose. Also, it means that these entities require certain special diets to maintain their the plan, to maintain who they are, to maintain the image that they have. And of course we get lots of stories about drinking blood, etc., etc. But they certainly do have to do something to maintain their image. And often we see it, we saw it with not this Pope but the last Pope, the image was breaking down. I mean, I remember 4 years ago doing conferences and showing pictures of him, and it was just horrendous. That's why he had to go. And because you could see the human was dissolving, basically, and the reptilian was like really coming through, but also was very demonic as well. So you can't live with someone and not know who they are, not unless you're absolutely stupid. So yeah, thank you. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to just thank people, because I need to thank people for their very kind donations. And I'll look at the clock and see if we can squeeze another one in. So I'll just do these, just read these out. So I want to thank everyone who's helped me. It is a godsend, it really is. And I really appreciate what you do, thank you. To Sue, Catherine, Christopher, Ruth, Vesna, Tina, Alisa, Shamsa, Caroline, Kyle, Andrea, Anne, Anna, Isabel, Hans, Cheryl, Pifna, Nathan, Mark, Olaf, Amy, Elmer, Carl, Danut, George, Virginia, Alexander, Thomas, Stefan, Sonia, Mary, Lauren, Gorilla, Little Warehouse, Margaret, David, Joanne, Tanya, Linda, Rhonda, Jerome, Florin, Jeff, Oliver, Edlina, Terry, Sandra, maybe there, Charlotte, Stefano, and Candice. And if I've missed any of you out, I'm really sorry. But to those of you who've supported, thank you. And as I did say, I did use some of that donations to give to some of those very poor people who, you know, lost so much in fires. So, Becky, what's the time? Do you think we can squeeze another one in? Or
I think we've gone over an hour, but we could fit one more question.
So although we've gone over the hour, we will just try and get another one in. Okay, that's kind of you, thank you.
Okay, so Whitney says, if the moon is a satellite, why are we so affected by it? New moon and full moons affect our sleep, cause us to be more hungry, can alter our mood. Why are we so affected by the moon cycles of an artificial planet?
A really, really good question. We're affected by it because that's why it's there to affect us. It was there for two reasons. One was to provide a secure, hidden part. People call it the dark side of the moon. Technically, it's the far side of the moon. So it's a place where all the bases are, where you can have your operations without being spotted. But also, it's just set at the right distance from the Earth to affect the oceans, excuse me, which we understand. But it does affect the brain patterns. Now, this is really important. It affects the brain patterns and was part of the operation of a reptilian group a very, very long time ago. Remember that the African tribe actually remembers in their the songs and the stories of the original moon going, and then the new moon, and I think translated into English, it goes along the lines of the new moon was rolled into place. That's the way they look at it. About 150, 200 years ago maybe, there was a German guy who did some very interesting research into sleepwalking and actually found that most sleepwalkers were affected by the light of the moon, the phases of the moon. It was moonlight coming into their room which actually caused them to sleepwalk. And so the doctors will say, oh, don't worry, they'll grow out of it. Now just get some really thick black curtains and that should do it. Poor old Princess Diana, as far as I'm concerned, she was murdered. Remember what the court said? You stop people on the street, people say that Princess Diana died in an accident. This is the problem with unawake people. It's really, really annoying. Princess Diana did not die from an accident. And if you look through the official records and if you go on to the court line, you'll actually see that the court's judgment on Diana was unlawful killing. It actually said unlawful killing. It was the judge said to the jury, that the best I can let you go with this, I can't say murder because we don't have any suspects and there's no bullet holes in the person, no knife wounds in the person, but the best I can let you do is unlawful killing. And the jury of 12 men and women actually said, we want to call it unlawful killing. That's a fact. She didn't die of an accident. She was unlawfully killed. So she was the moon goddess. That's why it's important here. She was the moon goddess. And although her family may not have realized it, but she was destined to die before she was even 1 year old. So we know through Babylon, through ancient Egypt, Sumeria, particularly Babylon and ancient Egypt, there's a connection between the divine feminine and the moon. There's also a connection with Celtic religions and other religions, but they're not the sacrificial religions, not in the same way, not in the way that the Babylon and Assyrian one and Egyptian one is. But it's the Babylon that's the big one here. It's a connection with the moon. And so some mood swings can be affected in females by the moon that does not affect the male. And now we have the story of the full moon and then the werewolf and the silver bullet and all of this sort of stuff. And we know in England through 300, 400, 500 years of history that there's always the joke about the full moon and you know the local villages going mad. The reality is that anecdotally, societies have worked out that the phases of the moon have an effect on its people. Now look at Stonehenge. We don't quite really still to this day know exactly what the monument was about, but there are many, many stone monuments in Britain and elsewhere which were to mark certain times, and the moon played an important role in that. So the moon is a control element. It's a hiding element, but it's also a control element on emotions. Now if you have a very advanced machine and you're able to bounce waves off the moon, we know the moon is hollow because when anything's landed on the moon, they've had a hollow sound back from it. There was a bomb that was detonated on the moon. You won't find that in your local bookshop, but they were actually got a hollow sound back. So we know it's a satellite. But you could use it as a reflective surface. We know light reflects off the moon really well, but you can reflect other waves off it, and that can affect the emotions of not just people, but genders, male and female, depending on the frequency. It's a really fascinating story. It's part of the control system of humanity. Jupiter has another interesting planet to have a look at for this. So listen, I'm going to wrap it up now because it's been over the hour. I want to thank everybody for taking the time and the trouble to listen, but more importantly, for your own research, for the fact that you don't give in, that you're determined to find the truth. And I was really pleased to get such a good reception. I talked about my alien experiences, and people had said, you don't talk about them anymore. And I generally said, well, I don't know that people want to hear it. You know, I've not done it all, but I have spoken about it in the early days. And people were saying, well, you know, is it because it doesn't happen anymore? And you know, you're out of favour with them and all of this. And now it does happen, but, you know, I'm so taken up, I suppose, with the modern events that are affecting us in a 3D world. So it was really lovely to have so many responses from you saying, well, we are interested in it, we would like to hear a bit more. I would be happy to talk it, but, you know, maybe you want to let me know as to what is it that interests you. I don't want to be talking about a particular experience or a particular alien race if you guys are not particularly fascinated by it. So if you can give me some idea of what it is that you would like to hear, and then I can talk about that. I mean, it's personal to me, and when I talk about my experiences, I'm not saying that anyone else's experiences are not valid. I'm not saying that, well, this is what happened to me, so therefore you're wrong. What I'm saying is, this is what I've experienced, and this is what I can, with real validity, talk on. It doesn't mean that the man or the woman down the road that has a different story is any less or more valid than me. But I am happy to share them with you. I'm happy to discuss it. And, you know, if you want to ask questions more specifically about alien stuff, then I'm really happy to do it. I'm not shied away from it. I've not become embarrassed or don't want to talk about it. It's just that, you know, there are so many other pressing things that affect our lives on a day-to-day basis. These alien things do affect us in some ways. They affect us greater, but they're hidden and they're unseen. And I've always wanted to reach out, not just to those that know the truth, but those that are on the verge of knowing the truth. And like David Icke, I don't want to lose people who just don't want to hear about the Queen being reptilian. But it's the truth. It's the truth. So people like me have to think, well, what do I do here? Do I tell them the truth and lose 90%? But do I do it gently? So what I'm saying is, if you want to let me know whether you are interested and you want to hear a bit about it, then I'll just add it on. I'll just add on extra to what I would do. So thank you ever so much. It's a real pleasure always to meet you. I do it through my conferences, or on the street, and supermarket, or when I do my one-to-one Skypes. And I'm reminded in so many cases why I do this work, excuse me, because I meet so many good people, and occasionally I meet some really evil people. So when I meet good people, I'm reminded that that's really what the human race is. The human race is about progression and development and a spiritual journey. And, you know, it's fantastic. And, you know, we're all so privileged to be here. We really ought to be bouncing out of bed every morning saying, hey, another day. Isn't that fantastic? We're alive. Sometimes we don't realize what we had until we lose it. Okay. God bless to everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.